All right, welcome into the Lemon Pepper Parlay Podcast, the NBA edition. He is Martin Weiss. I'm Rob Parker. Yes, the youngin' thinks he knows about the NBA.
I don't think I know. I know. Every day on Twitter.
There you go. Because, you know, he's trying to make a couple of shekels and he thinks that he knows. I've been covering the league since 1987. I was in Cleveland when Michael Jordan made that shot over Craig Elo. I was in the Boston Garden when the rats got stuck to the parquet floor. Yes.
YouTube.com. I've seen it all. YouTube.com. I've seen it all. How about that?
No, it's not the same, my man. It's not the same. But anyway, what's up, Martin? How you doing?
Doing well, man. I'm over here in the city. So nice. They named it twice. New York, New York, visiting my younger sister. And I'm in Brooklyn today. And I decided that Wednesday night, no KD, no Harden. You know what? I think I'm going to fade the Nets. And, oh, man. The lines opened at 5.5, which covered. However, I got 7, which didn't cover for obviously like the worst beat I've had in 2 weeks. But it's just ironic because I'm in Brooklyn and I bet against Brooklyn. So now this city has a nasty taste in my mouth for at least until tonight when I'm with my next bet.
I get it. Brooklyn, at least you're in New York. Is the weather good? Is the weather good there? A little chilly.
I'm realizing at this point, I've been incredibly spoiled by weather for the last, 3-4 years of my life, because it is probably 50 and gray and it looks like the end of the world to me outside. So I don't understand. I just don't know why the sun hasn't come back out yet. You know, like, where are you in California?
I know. Once you move to Southern California, everything other than 75 and sunny is bad. All right. Now let's welcome to the podcast a friend of mine. A friend of Martin, one of the best basketball writers in this country. He works for ESPN's Undefeated, Mr. Mark Spears. Mark, welcome to the Lemon Pepper Parlay Podcast, NBA edition.
What's happening, man? Hey, Rob, I want to just thank you, man, for everything you've done for me. You were one of my first mentors. I would send you my copy and mail it to you, and you would mail it back to me with a bunch of red scribble on it. And I still use some of your teachings when you write in a story and somebody says, in a quote, I think, you know, Rob Parker told me to take the I think out. I always remember that. But I want to just thank you for your love and your mentorship and how many people you have helped. I have no idea, but you didn't have to do it. And you did it. So it just speaks volumes about you as a man and as a mentor, man. So thank you.
I appreciate that more.
Well, real quick, Rob, while we're on the Rob Parker Appreciation Hour, I do want to say Rob Parker took me to my first NABJ where I met you, Mark Spears. And you told me, I don't even know if you remember this, but you told me offhand, you said, no, I didn't feel like anybody gave a damn about what I had to say until I turned 30. And you said, just remember that. I'm 31 now, and now we're doing a podcast together.
Well, there it is.
There it is.
I guess somebody listened to what I had to say, too, huh?
I'm just saying, while we're in this moment, before we get into the basketball talk, I just felt like I couldn't let that one go by.
No, appreciate it, bro.
No doubt. All right, let's talk about it. And the surprise today, of course, LaMarcus Aldridge retiring. A regular heartbeat. He missed two Nets games, and people were wondering because, Mark, the report was it was non-COVID, so people were trying to figure out why he wasn't playing, and we found out the answer today. Your thoughts on his retirement?
Man, I'm number one. I'm happy he's healthy. He's fine, and that we didn't have another tragedy to talk about. You know, I remember being in high school when Hank Gathers passed and how much that crushed me. And, you know, remember the Reggie Lewis stories. And then LaMarcus is a very, very smart guy, man. He left at the right time. And luckily he was blessed enough to have some years behind him and some major success that I believe deserves to put him in the Hall of Fame. But he was always gracious to me. I think he really had a strong mentality, because if you remember when he came into the league, there was a guy named Greg Oden, and there was also a guard named Brandon Roy who got all the accolades and all the attention. And he was kind of an afterthought, even though he was a high pick too. And so he ended up being the one that had the best career of the three, patiently waiting his turn to be the star. And boy, was he ever a star. I mean, he could hit a mid-range jumper as good as anybody. He couldn't block it. Score in the post, he could dunk. Kind of was Tim Duncan-ish in a way where, you know, he didn't do a bunch of crazy dunks and this, that, and the third. And he kind of just played and went home. Wasn't too loud or too vocal. But he was a pleasure to watch, and he was a pleasure to get to know as a person. And hopefully I had the opportunity to shake his hand one day and say, well done, and I'm glad that you are okay.
I know my first, when I think of LaMarcus Aldridge, I just remember that those two games in Houston, the one that Damian Lillard ended up ending the series, but LaMarcus Aldridge could not miss a mid-range jumper. Like, there was nothing they could do to stop him in that series. That's my, like, lasting memory of just his prime, like when he was at his best. You know, I just thought he was really a good player, and it's good to see that he's going to be able to retire and maintain his health. But I'd have to ask you about a guy that I know you cover often and been up there a lot. You're in the Bay Area. Steph Curry is going insane right now. The babyface assassin is going nuts. But last night, he ended up three three-pointers made away from Klay Thompson's record of 14. He had 11 in 29 minutes of play. Mark, do you think that Steve Kerr should have let Curry break the record, even though they were winning by 500,000,000 points?
No, because I think you have to respect the game. And in respecting the game, you don't rub it in somebody's face. The biggest problem with it was the score wasn't close. Had the score been close, I think Steph would have, you know, had his opportunity. But in the same token, shoot, Steph was the reason why it wasn't close. With the way he right. played, and also Draymond Green's triple-double. I mean, I've been watching in person a lot of what he's been doing since 2009 when he was drafted. I had covered the Celtics for the Boston Globe and got a job at Yahoo Sports in 2009. Moved back home to the Bay. Just happened to be the same year that the Warriors got this kid named Stephen Curry. And so I've gotten to know him from the beginning, and the same great person from the amazing background that he was then, the same person now. I actually just interviewed him for a story I did about him and Lee Elder trying to get more blacks into golf. And Steph definitely giving Mr. Elder a lot of kudos and everything. And it's just he's just an amazing person. So he's easy to root for because he's class personified, and he's also worth the price of admission, even if the team isn't great. Like, I remember when, you know, even when Kobe had 81, that team wasn't a good team, right? You know, you got to remember the
right.
Chris Mim years and the, you know, some of those, you know, Kwame Brown years and stuff like that. But fans still came because they wanted to see a show, and he always put on a show. And the same thing certainly could be said with this struggling Warriors team, with Stephen Curry as well. He always is going to put on an amazing show. And with all due respect to Jerry Rice, to Joe Montana, to Ricky Henderson, to Barry Bonds, he is the greatest athlete, pro athlete ever to come out of the, ever to play in the Bay.
Stop, Mark.
I'm about to say, Rob Parker, you're rebuttal.
I cannot sign off on that, Mark Spears. You got to stop with this. I mean, Steph Curry's a great player, but really? Better than the home run king? Better than Willie Mays, who played in the Bay Area? Are you, mean, better?
Yeah, well, one guy is tainted. See, when I say the greatest, I talk about, I mean, not only what you did on the court, but what you've done off the court.
All right, you're talking about something. Okay, not done, the play. He ain't better than somebody, Ricky Henderson and somebody. I can't. I think we get.
I mean, the only guy I think you could make an argument in terms of popularity and impact on the Bay is maybe Jerry Rice.
Joe Montana was 4-0 in the Super Bowl, 11 touchdowns, no picks, won 3 MVPs. In terms of popularity,
he eclipsed Joe.
Wow. That's hard for me to believe, especially.
Here's what you gotta remember, Rob. For so long, there were two teams, football teams in the Bay, until one decided to snake their way out. There were also, for the second time, and there's also been two baseball teams. So in a lot of ways in the Bay, like, either like one team or the other, the one benefit that the Warriors do have is that there is no competition.
Right. I get that.
Everybody in the Bay loves them. It's not split. You know, so either you're a Ricky Henderson guy or you're, you know, I'm trying to think of somebody back then with the Giants, but or Barry Bonds guy. You know what I mean? It's either one or the other. Either you like, you know, Jim Plunkett, or Marcus Allen, or you like, you know, Jerry Rice and Joe Montana. There's no middle ground with Steph. You'll see, you know, pictured murals on walls in Oakland, in San Francisco, and in San Jose. And I don't ever remember another athlete having that kind of adoration.
Our guest is Mark Spears from ESPN's Undefeated, one of the best basketball writers in this country, joining the Lemon Pepper Parlay podcast, the NBA edition. I was disappointed, Mark. I got to admit, the NBA has let me down a number of times on national games. We saw it. I really wanted to see Philadelphia and the Nets last night in Philly, you know, the two teams with the best records in the Eastern Conference. And Philly was full strength, but the Nets wound up sitting down. You know, Kevin Durant, obviously James Harden is hurt. Kyrie played, but there was also no Blake Griffin. And then, of course, LaMarcus Aldridge, we found out, had a real health issue. But does that hurt the league when these national games, you know, and guys don't play or they get rested?
Yeah.
How can the league fix this, Mark?
Well, I guess it worked in their benefit for it not to be on TV, and right, you know, because nationally they saw Doncic make that crazy shot, so that was you know, great television. This has been an injury plague season. I don't know if I should blame it on, you know, obviously COVID has had its impact, and being so many games pushed together has had its impact. But, you know, if you're not the Lakers, I was worried about them because they only had 73 days off. Miami Heat only had 73 days off. But there were a lot of teams that had a significant amount of time off. So I think it's mutually exclusive in terms of every team, in terms of these, like, injuries and stuff like that. And as we get closer and closer to the playoffs, unfortunately, like, they're going to be more and more teams kind of trying to pick and choose what they want to do with their players. Because, you know, I found it interesting that the Nets did play Durant in Minnesota, but didn't play him the next night. My assumption was that
they were going to have him play in
Philadelphia.
So what do you make of, like, I feel like with the deal, the load management, though, and then this year feels different because of COVID and all of that, but we were already on the way to where load management was becoming a problem, depending how you look at it, right? But hearing guys like Steve Nash now say, because, I mean, you can use the COVID and the testing, as, I don't want to say it's an excuse, but as a further reason as to why you want to load manage players. But just the idea of a guy like Steve Nash saying it's better to be healthy in mid-April, I mean, in mid-May than it is in mid-April, which is obviously true. But that idea kind of kills the idea that the regular season even matters, right? When you went, like,
you know it, but it could end up biting you. And where it bites you at is seeding. Where it bites you at is having to play in a your playing game now. So yeah, they could, you know, what are they saying? The Wizard Oz, you want to play with fire, Scarecrow? You know,
it could
end up burning them because, you know, now it looks like the Lakers, as possible, could end up playing in the play-in or being the sixth seed and playing the Clippers in the first round, you know. So that there are teams that, you know, you play that rest game and then you end up playing somebody you didn't really want to play, or maybe losing a seed by a game or two. If you would have just played somebody in the first place, perhaps you wouldn't have been in that position. So there's a, you know, certainly a catch 22 with it.
Right, especially in the playoffs where it's all about matchups.
Yeah.
Mark, last thing, we're going to let you fly, man, and we appreciate your time and your insight. This is a crazy year when you talk about the NBA MVP. Giannis won it the last 2 years. It was pretty obvious and pretty convincing. Too many guys this year, Mark, have been hurt. LeBron, too many games. You know, some people might think Embiid missed over 20 games. You know, that might knock him out in some people's minds. You know, Kawhi is there. Also, Harden was playing great for the Nets. He's missed some games. You know, his exit from Houston might hurt his chances as well. Who do you like? And then, you know, Chris Paul's name has come up. Who do you like for the MVP right here and right now?
Yeah, I mean, even a lot of people have been wanting to just hand deliver it to Joker. But due to Jamal Murray's injury,
right,
I think they're going to, like, the Denver could step back. So when you – people have to remember, it's funny that we get these weekly updates about this award, but this award is a pound-for-pound award. It's an award for the entire season. And I don't think any rider should turn in their ballot early. You should wait to the last game is played before you turn in any ballot. You should really evaluate the entire season. And when I was voting, I don't know more, but when I was voting, I would turn in – the season always ended on a Wednesday, and I would turn in my ballot Thursday morning or Thursday afternoon. I just felt like the players deserve that, you know? And so, like, because, shoot it, 2 months ago, LaMelo Ball was the runaway rookie of the year, right?
Right.
And then he got hurt. So this is going to be, for those that are voting, going to be as challenging as it's ever been, trying to figure it out. I do think what you say about Chris Paul is something that I think could gain some momentum. Why nobody's mentioned from the Jazz, like, you know, Donovan Mitchell, I don't know. Embiid also, obviously has been mentioned. So I do think there's a lot of different candidates to choose from. And it shouldn't be a popularity contest. It should be who basically had the greatest impact on their team. And I would not be surprised if more momentum is built for if the Suns have the number two seed. Like, to me, Chris Paul has built a great argument for himself.
All right. His name is Mark Spears, one of the best in the business. Proud to call him a friend.
And I stick by my Stephen Curry statement. I stick by it. There's three titles for a team that was absolutely dreadful.
All right, absolutely Mark. Dreadful. Mark. Also, wait a minute. Let me push back again before I let you go. He's also
Barry Bonds did not win a championship.
He also is the author of the biggest choke in NBA Finals history when his 73-win team choked down a championship up 3-1, 2 games in the Bay. They didn't lose 3 games all year.
There's a lot to that series, though.
No, I mean, they lost.
Really break down that series.
I want Steph
to win. Draymond got suspended for a game. Andrew Bogut got lost for the last 2 games of the series. There was some other things going on wrong there. Now, did he have a great game that game? No, definitely not.
All right,
if you would have told me 10 years ago that the Warriors would as little as make it to the finals, I would have cracked up laughing at you for like 30 minutes.
See, the problem that you did, Mark, you invoked Joe Montana and Rob Parker at every single instance is licensed to defend Joe Montana against any and all forthcomers, including Tom Brady. So that was really the bear that you poked. I don't think it was all Steph. It was a lot of that Joe Montana in there too.
All right. Well, anyway, Mark, Man, stay well, man. I appreciate you. Love you, bro. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Love you guys too, man. Y'all take care.
Before we move on, let's take a quick break. Add a little excitement to your sports watching experience by betting on all the action on FanDuel Sportsbook. There's a reason why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. Their app is simple to use. They've got great ads on all different betting markets, unique fun bet types like same game parlays, exclusive always on promotions such as enhanced odds boosts on the biggest events to let you get more action out of every game day. And if you win, they get you your winnings in safely in as little as 24 hours. I mean, it's easy to use, fast withdrawals, odds boosts. What more could you possibly want out of your sportsbook? So right now, FanDuel Sportsbook is letting you place your first bet risk-free up to $1,000. Just place your first bet on anything, and FanDuel will refund you $1,000 back if you don't win. No strings attached. Any bet you want. If you win, you keep the cash. If you lose, you get your whole bet back. Your whole bet back. Up to $1,000 in site credit. Now me, I'm putting that on my same game parlay. I'm not putting $1,000 on it because I've already made my first bet, but I'm putting something on it. I like the Pistons money line and the under for the Pistons and Oklahoma City Thunder on Friday night. So if you've never tried FanDuel Sportsbook, what are you waiting for? Go play that. Go play something else. Whatever you do, download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started and be sure to sign up with promo code LP3. Let them know that me and Rob sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code LP3. So the marquee game of the night last night, we just talked a little bit about it with Spears, but you had the Nets and all of their injury concerns and resting and all of that. Well, it all came to bear last night against the Philadelphia 76ers in a game that should have been the Eastern Conference marquee matchup of the year. Instead, it ends up with the Philly getting a 6-point win. But it took that 6-point win took a 20-2 run in the fourth quarter with Kyrie Irving on the bench throughout that 20-2 run. Rob, did you learn anything in particular from this game, which should have been two Titans? Instead, it was a Titan and the bench.
Nah, I didn't learn anything. I really didn't. And, you know, we had Eddie House, the former NBA guard, champion, Celtic, all that, on the radio show, The Odd Couple, and he said this is classic where one team doesn't want to show the other team their cards. That's why they decided not to play Kevin Durant and all that. And that makes sense because you easily could have played Kevin Durant in that game and kept him out against Minnesota, which they won by 90. You know what I mean? Like, they could have won that game without Durant. So there's some gamesmanship going on, Martin, here. As we get closer to, what, a month or so before the playoffs start. So I think that but I didn't get anything from the game. And the idea that Embiid had to get up off the bench after coming out to get back in to secure the win that should have been a blowout was ridiculous, you know, because the Nets mop-up squad, they roll.
That's what I took from this game, honestly, because, I mean, I've been sitting here the last 3 weeks telling you, you know, these guys need to play together. What happened to team ball? What happened to, you know, this is Clippers part two. I've seen this movie before of all this injury reports, guys not playing, all so on and so forth. But like for guys 3 through 8 on this team in the Brooklyn Nets to just come back like that in the fourth quarter versus 76ers, to me, like I'm almost there. I'm almost there with you guys. I'm almost there with you and Chris. I'm not quite, but I'm almost there.
Okay, so you're warming up now.
I'm almost there. I'm still going. I'm still leaning L.A. I still like the Lakers. I still like the fact that that team has already won a championship together. But, I mean, damn, dude. If the Bruce Browns of the world are going to go ahead and go toe-to-toe with the Ben Simmons and Tobias Harris and Joel Embiid, as Shannon Sharp would say, it might be goodnight, Irene. Like, I don't know.
Right, because they shouldn't be doing that when in a game, right, where no Durant and no Harden. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, when you add those to the mix, it wasn't like those guys got run over. They mopped up Philly when they came.
Especially to hear the way that Spears was just talking about it. Like, these guys are not concerned about these regular season games so much unless it comes down to the seeding, right, or if it comes down to, you know, the matchup. And if you're the Brooklyn Nets, do you really care? I mean, especially with the second half of the Eastern Conference looking the way it does, do you really care if you're the one seed or the two seed? No. No, you don't, because it's not about that. You know, it doesn't matter, because eventually you'll be playing the one seed or the two seed in the Eastern Conference Finals regardless. And hell, there's not even – there's limited fans in the stands, so game seven on the road may not even matter that much. Right?
Yeah, it definitely ain't the old days, right? To pick, because you're not going to have a full arena, and it doesn't factor in.
The biggest thing I learned out of this next game is if you're a doubter like me still, I can't blame anybody for hopping off the boat. I can't blame anybody for hopping off the boat at this point. But I am me. It's like me and Tom Hanks and the volleyball Wilson. Like, we're the last ones on the island, I feel like. And that's probably right. What it should be.
Hang on there a little bit longer, but I think you're starting to see the light.
So one team that I'm absolutely not seeing the light on, although one star on it has been exceptional, Zion Williamson has been great. The New Orleans Pelicans have not.
What is Martin? That's your hometown team, and they have some good young players. I'm not saying they were supposed to make a run to the NBA Finals or anything, but I'm shocked at how many games they've lost, and how, you know, they're really not in the mix for the play. I'm stunned that they're not, especially thinking this is, you know, a second year.
I think it's kind of unexplainable, but then I feel like you kind of look at the roster, and outside of Ingram, Zion, like, you don't really have too many guys who are true shot creators, and I feel like you're wondering if Ingram is the shot creator that we thought that he was going to be, right, when the Lakers drafted him second. I mean, obviously he was an all-star, but it's just like they were talking about him like he projected to be like a Kevin Durant, or even like a Michael Porter Jr. is, to me, a more willing scorer at times than a Brandon Ingram is, and I think that probably might be part of the issue there, honestly. I just think they're a young team, and Zion has to find a way for his incredible numbers to impact winning. And I'm not saying that it's not going to happen, but as of right now, it's not happening, right? Like, but I do think it'll be something that comes with time. I think that I wonder if the Pelicans are bad kind of by design right now, right? In this shortened year.
I can't believe that because I know what you're saying, but they got enough young guys already there. They should be doing better, Martin. I'm not saying world beaters, but and he's unstoppable at the rim, okay? Like, unstoppable. And despite that, they still, I mean, who'd they lose to last night? The Knicks?
Yeah,
I mean, it's not like they're getting steamrolled. They're losing to everybody. I mean, they've really, really struggled. And this is not what I thought. Last year, the NBA tried desperately, you remember, to get them in to the playoffs, right? Inviting them to the bubble.
Yeah. They created a whole play-in tournament. Almost the reason why, right? I mean,
I totally agree.
I thought it, at least. They created a whole tournament to try to get them in there. And it turned out to be Damian Lillard and John Moran who stole the show in the play-in last year. But I just feel like with Zion, he's so unique. Everybody compares him to Charles Barkley, and I didn't see Barkley in his prime, right? Or, hell, past his prime, really. I saw him on YouTube. But I don't know anybody who has the explosiveness. He hits centers like he's a defensive tackle. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's hitting guys like that, and guys are going flying. He's easily the strongest player in the league. So I just feel like it's going to be a level with him finding his touch, finding his finesse. I think that as the further he gets away from the basket, the better the Pelicans will be, because he'll always have that. He'll always have that ability to, well, always, as long as he's, you know, keeping that athleticism, doesn't get hurt, that type of deal. He'll always have that ability to get to the rim kind of like at will against defenders. So I think the further he gets away, the more they embrace point Zion and get him as a distributor and a ball handler, I think this team will be a lot better. And then they'll get a point guard, and then you could have two guys that can actually be handling the ball, facilitating. Because right now, I don't think that's the case. And I think that's probably one of their major problems on offense. So we just wrapped up an MVP conversation with Mark Spears. But I got to give one guy credit here, Rob Parker, because he said it first and he said it to us. But he said it first and I hadn't heard it anywhere. But now I'm starting to hear this a lot more places. Rashad Phillips came on early. I believe we were on the Odd Couple together and told us that Chris Paul, by the end of the year, was going to be getting some MVP consideration. Now, at the moment, neither one of us laughed at Rashad Phillips because we know he's a respected basketball analyst. If he says something, you should listen to it. But both of us, I feel like we're like, kind of like, all right, buddy, I don't know about all of that.
Right.
So we're hearing that. We're like, all right. So we're looking at through those rose-colored glasses. But here on April 15th, where I sit, Chris Paul's got to be in the conversation. Oh, if not, almost by default. He's played the whole season. His team is in the top three in the West. And right now, his team's better than the Nuggets. And everybody's trying to give it to Jokic right now.
Yeah, I don't know. The Jokic thing might not happen because, obviously, Murray's injury and the team will probably slide some, so that'll hurt him. I think Chris Paul could be considered because of where Phoenix was last year. They didn't make the playoffs, and here they are, an addition. But sometimes, you know, but Devin Booker's just as big of a part of what's going on as well, and I get it. So sometimes that Martin will split the vote, right? You know what
100%.
I mean?
Like,
watching, saying, yeah, Chris Paul has done his thing, but without Devin Booker, this team wouldn't be that good. So I think that's where he gets lost in the sauce and where he probably won't get it. But he's had a big impact. There's no doubt about it. We've seen that with Chris Paul. The problem we've had with him is that he can't finish the job, right? The Clippers, that he was running that team. That team should have made a run to the finals. They never got to the conference finals with Chris Paul and some of the talent that that team had. He went to Houston. Obviously, he got hurt, but that didn't work out. He got shipped out of there. He got OKC to the playoffs. Remember, people thought the world was falling after they blew up OKC. They sent Chris Paul there. So he's done this, and he's a really good player, and he can lead a team. But I'm not so sure if it's all about him, and that's why I don't think he will win the MVP.
I don't think he'll win it either. I do think that Devin Booker has more of an impact on, like, the day-in, day-out games, like actual, you know, fourth quarter last week coming down. But I think that Chris Paul being the adult in the room for Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton and that type of situation, I think that is what kind of changed the vibes, right? You see, like, when he was a Clipper, there was, you know, all these contentions between him and Blake Griffin, you know, and between him and DeAndre Jordan. For none of that out of the Valley of the Sun this season, right? Everybody seems to be the biggest Chris Paul fan of all time. He's obviously dynamic. I am not going to rule anything out in this season that apparently we lose a star a day, right? Chris Paul might be the MVP just by the last guy standing on the top of the hill by the time this thing is all said and done. But I definitely think he deserves to be in the conversation at this point.
All right,
Rob. We're picking games for Friday this time. Okay, so these are Friday, April 16th games, early lines. Right now, one of our former home teams, the Detroit Pistons, are 7-point favorites. And I don't, you know, it's hard to say the Pistons should be favored against 7 versus anybody until you realize they're playing the Oklahoma City Thunder. Rob, who you got in this game?
Oklahoma City, their stats against the spread are horrific, Martin, are horrific. They are a bad team. 1-7 against the spread in their last 8. 1-8 in their last 9 games against the Eastern Conference. 1-4 in their last 5 games against the Central Division. I mean, the Pistons are at least 5-12-1 in their last 18 in April against the spread. I'm going to take the Pistons. You know what? They lost the other night to the Clippers by 2. I'm going to take the Pistons that they don't get to win that often. Here's a chance to get a win with a bad team in OKC. I say the Pistons jump on them. And I'm going to give up the 7 points. I got the Pistons by 10 in this game.
I'm going Pistons as well. So
what?
Good luck, everybody. Good luck, everybody. I agree with Rob Parker. But the Oklahoma City Thunder are the worst team in a league with 3 really, really bad teams, right? Between Houston and Minnesota and Oklahoma City. Like, you watch Oklahoma City play, which I've done once or twice because I had the props on that Pulisevsky dude. that team, I don't understand how they're fielding a team. They've been addicted to losing by 30 since the All-Star break. I'm taking the Pistons, who feel like they're trying to make something shake. Don't get me wrong. They're flat out bad, too. But when they let Blake Griffin go, when they bench Blake Griffin, it's a sign, okay, we're moving on to the future. We're trying to build these parts. You got Sadiq Bey going. You got some other young pieces going in Detroit that are just kind of, they're going to let them play through it. I think they play through, I think they play right through Oklahoma City today, tomorrow night. I don't see how they hang in there. And so we'll go from there to another pretty bad team. The New Orleans Pelicans are going to Washington, D.C. in a game that's now a pick 'em on the line. They take on the Wizards. Rob, who do you got in that game?
That's another one of those games. New Orleans is really bad. 3-8 against the spread in their last 11 against Washington. So there's something there, like Washington has their number. You know what? I'm going to go with Washington. The Pelicans are reeling right now. 0-7 straight up in their last seven. How about that, Martin? 0-7.
Jeez.
0-7 in their last seven games on the road versus Washington, so straight up. So I'm going to go with Washington. I'm going to pick Washington here. And a couple times, they still got firepower. They're not that great of a team, but I still think that they're better than where New Orleans. New Orleans is in a bad place right now. I'm going with Washington.
Oh, boy. Here we go again, because I am riding with Bradley Beal and the Wizards, man. I mean,
what?
Russell Westbrook has had a triple-double in like 10 of the last 11 games. Washington is no good. They're terrible. They're absolutely horrible. But the Pelicans played no defense. They played no defense whatsoever. Now, that's not to say Washington plays great defense, but Washington has Russ and Brad Beal, and this version of Russ in the last 15 games or so has been incredible, right? He hasn't been throwing up those 4-for-20 stinkers like, you know, Russ might be prone to do on occasion. So I'm going to ride with Bradley Beal and Russ, and golly, I'm agreeing 2-0 on Rob Parker. I'm going to even gamble on Friday. This is concerning.
No, it's bad. I'm going to say, you might not want to put any shekels down messing with me. All right, why don't you do the game three? I'm going to let you start. Go ahead, the third game. You start it, and this way you won't feel like you're piggybacking or trying to get off on my picks.
All right, guys. So the next game that we go to will be the Indiana Pacers versus the Utah Jazz. Right now the line's sitting at 10, which is just an incredible amount for a basketball game. Like a 10-point line. If you bet this league on a semi-consistent basis, just look at the results night by night and tell me how many of the results are by over 15 points, because it's not many. There may be a 20-point blowout at some point in the game. But overarchingly, just off the top of my head, over 60% of NBA games end within 10, within a margin of 10. You know what I'm like? But this one right here is not going to be one of those games. I'm done. I'm done betting against the Utah Jazz. I'm done. I quit. I give up. I'm taking the 10 points.
You lost a pair of Jordans because of them, didn't you? I'm sorry.
Not
yet.
I didn't lose anything. I didn't lose anything. Not yet. However, yeah, Utah Jazz, I mean, at this point, the only thing that would make me concerned that they're not going to cover this spread is if, like, Sabonis is, like, a full go and feels really good. But outside of that, man, the Pacers aren't great, and the Jazz are. The Jazz are just a great team. And at this point, I wish I had came around to them sooner, because I would have made a lot more money. But I'm taking the Jazz.
I'm going to buck here where we part ways right here. I'm going to go with Indiana. Indiana 4-1 straight up in their last five games. 5-1 straight up, Martin, in their last six games on the road. 10 points is a lot. I say that Utah will probably win, but Indiana will cover. They'll get the 10 points, and I think that they'll cover. So I like where Indiana is. They're still in the playoff hunt. This could be a big win. They're not that far out. They're only like two games out of the last spot in the East. So they have something to really play for. I'm going to go with the Pacers.
Okay. Oh, man. This could be ugly. Now, for my same game parlay, I'm going to same game parlay the Pistons money line on Friday night versus the Oklahoma City Thunder and the under 217. Because I don't see how any of these, like, that one to, I don't see neither one of these teams is going to score over 115 points, right? So I'm taking under 217 and Pistons money line on that, because I'm not messing around with the points in the same game parlay because it's boosted odds anyway.
All right, here's my lemon pepper parlay for this week, NBA style. I am going to take Washington over New Orleans. And then I'm going to take the over in the Indiana-Utah game. That's my lemon pepper parlay for the week. It's always better with the cheddar, Martin Weiss, from the Detroit East Side Cheddar Boys. Remember what I'm telling you.
Hey, and from another Detroit legend, it takes money to make money. So if you've been following me on Twitter on Monday and Tuesday, we can forget about Wednesday, but on Monday and Tuesday, you got a little bit of cash to throw on some of these on Friday. So there you have it.
All right. Well, there we are. So make sure you check in next week to the Lemon Pepper Parlay podcast, the NBA edition. Martin Weiss, Rob Parker. Subscribe, like us, tell your friends, wake the kids, call the neighbors, and we'll see you next week.